Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Loud and Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
It's 99.9 KISW, Loud and Local. We have a band called Avenue East. Welcome to the studio, guys.
Hey. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I do have to mention Jay is a former, you know, employee of this company, and he used to work. He used to do the morning show on 100.7 The Wolf, which is a sister station. We're actually using their production studio to record this interview right now. So you have vindication. You are now back. And you were ready to take over. Dude.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird because
it's weird.
Like,
it was a different time in your life.
It's been like 11 years.
Yeah.
And he's in the country band now. So
There we go. I had you guys on during the pandemic. It was a cool thing to connect during, you know, a very dark time with bands via Zoom. But I will say it's a lot better to have bands in studio. It's much better.
Agreed.
To have that actual personal connection to meet people and to the interviews always flow so much better. So thanks for coming up and doing this. Let's go around the room. Reintroduce yourself. Tell us what you do in the band and what your name is.
I'm Alan. I play bass guitar.
I'm Tyler, lead vocals and guitar.
Awesome.
I'm Jay. I'm lead guitar player.
I'm Aaron. I'm the drummer.
Cool. So since, and we're not missing anyone, right? This is the project?
Yep.
Okay, cool. So since we last spoke, you guys came out with an album, your first full-length album. Yep. It's called One, The War on Avenue East. So tell me a little bit about, you know, what all went into it and... you know, catch me up, you know, how long did you guys spend on it? And I know it's quite a story because you guys are kind of you guys have a rich history of like, you know, this lore, right?
Yeah, working on it. This is actually the first songs that I wrote for this project.
Wow.
Back in 2019, Alan and I started working on it. Alan and I were in a former band together and decided to work on this, and then right as we decided, hey, let's start playing some shows, the world ended.
Yes,
and,
convenient.
Hard pause, and
yep.
Through that portion, we started writing a bunch of other stuff, and so we're finally able to circle back to this one and get it out there.
Nice.
Yeah, these are like the oldest new songs we could possibly be presenting at this point, which was, the entire album, in terms of like the songwriting, song structures, the bones of it and everything was done, and we're like... okay, awesome. This all sounds great. Let's get a full band together and play shows. And that was like January of 2020.
Yeah. We played one acoustic show
in
an apartment lobby and thought that was the end.
Yep. That was the last for quite a while.
Did you guys keep the songs relatively the same or did you guys tweak them or add anything to what was, you know, the original, you know, songs that you had written for this band?
Structure-wise, they're pretty much the same.
Okay.
Once Jay and Aaron got in, you know, they put their flair on some of the stuff. But, we've had a couple of, you know, EPs out since then. So it's kind of funny going back to this because they're like the first child and getting the attention for it. So
I was really glad to be able to actually get back to this because we'd been sitting on it for so long. And I'd been hearing the songs for so long that I kind of was a little... tired of them at the point and
like just get them out
yeah.
What the hell.
So being able to put out two EPs of different music kind of between them and then coming back around and re-listening to it, also having more engineering under my belt as I was the guy mixing it.
Oh, cool.
Having more ideas and ways to kind of bring certain parts out. And then obviously the contributions from Jay and Aaron brought the whole thing to life in a whole new way. And yeah, and finally it felt finished, which it nice. Hadn't for, you know, 4 years.
Yeah. Feels good.
So Jay and Aaron, why don't you guys kind of join in and tell me, you know, what brought you into the fold as far as, you know, how'd you meet these guys? And then, you know, how'd you guys join up the band?
So the band that I had at the time was Aurora's Eyes.
Another AE band.
Yeah, yes, I know, yes. Right? basically, during the pandemic, half the band decided to move out of state.
That was my last in-person interview before the pandemic.
That's true, yeah.
We were all wearing gloves.
We were all wearing gloves. Yeah. We were in a different studio. Yeah. We weren't at the building. We weren't even allowed in the building.
Yeah, it was
so we
a weird
it at my
time.
Studio.
It was wild.
And
there was so much weird, energy in that room.
It was
like, we did not know. And like looking back, it's like,
we were all concerned, like, is this really going to happen? Like,
and it did.
It did.
And now we're on the other end of it. So, anyways.
After that, two of the guys moved, and we still kept it going, but Alan texted me one day, because actually Alan was possibly going to be playing bass for some of the Aurora's Eyes shows or something like that at the time, but we just kept in contact, and he asked me, like, if Aurora's Eyes would play a show. I think it was at Bad Jimmy's.
Yeah, it was the first, like, live music had just started up again.
Yeah. And so I said, can't really, half my band moved. I'd love to. And he's like, well, do you want to fill in on guitar? And so I'm like, yeah, why not?
I want to do something.
I need to do something. So
put me in, coach.
Showed up to the first rehearsal. He sent me the songs. I studied as hard as I could.
Yeah.
This was like the first time where I'm like, I'm not writing any of this stuff. I'm just doing as I'm told, kind of the hired gun thing.
It must have been kind of fun.
It was fun.
To like not have to worry about that.
It was fun. And it's been so relaxing to not feel pressure under that, because Aurora's Eyes, like before I had band members, was all me.
Yeah.
Like all of the two EPs were just me writing everything out. But it's super nice to have like a principal writer and then just me just kind of get into free flow and be like a paintbrush and do my thing. But then also during that time, I was jamming with Aaron. We had a mutual friend that, who unfortunately passed away like during the pandemic.
Yeah. He was the singer for my band at the time.
And we ended up like jamming together just out of grief, basically almost, and just connecting with each other. And he just texted me one day saying like, hey, you guys need a drummer. Because when I joined, I was told like, hey, we have a drummer. And I never met said drummer because he never showed up to any of the practices.
In fairness, most of the drummer, his name is SoCal Kyle.
Yeah, SoCal
you can
Kyle.
Find him on GarageBand and Logic.
Yeah.
And so the practice before the show, they look at me and go, hey, the drummer, he's not coming. And I go, all right, so what do we do now? Are we just going to have program drums? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, that's fine. Not my first rodeo. Because like a band a long time ago we had a drummer quit, and that's what we had to do to keep that show booking going. But Aaron texted me and was like, you guys are looking for a drummer? I'm like, yeah.
He's yeah, because
like,
you had put a post out on Facebook. That,
something like that.
Yeah. Actually, SoCal Kyle's pretty chill, dude.
He's pretty chill.
Yeah. I don't know,
he has
Aaron.
The best weed.
Yeah. Yeah, bro.
Unbelievable.
But yeah, so Aaron's been in the mix and like...
I was supposed to be a fill-in, by the way.
Yeah, he was supposed to be a fill-in.
You both were
He's filling in until the project's over.
Okay.
I've been filling in for 2 years.
But
now.
The first practice I showed up to, like halfway through, these guys looked at me and they were like, if you want to just keep coming back, I mean, you're more than welcome to. I'm like, yeah, I would love to keep coming back. This is awesome.
Dude. That's
awesome. Yeah, it was funny. Tyler and I were kind of talking amongst each other, like, okay, it seems like if this is a good vibe, like, how do we play this out to try to, like, see if he wants to stick around? We're like, okay, we'll do the show, see how that feels, and then broach the subject. And by the end of the first practice, we were all like,
did we just become a band?
We're a band.
This heartfelt text message while I was at a Seahawk game. I forgot. I think it was like a preseason game. And he was just like, hey, remember that time that I invited you to like come play guitar for my band and like told you had a drummer, but we didn't have a drummer at all and you still stuck around? That was really cool.
That's awesome.
That's it was sweet. Weird that my first show with these guys, Jay wasn't at that show.
Yeah,
that's true.
The three of us,
because we had a show on the.
You know
books.
That guitarist we had.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I was like, yeah. Jay got me to join this band, and then he's not there.
SoCal Kyle on
that
guitar.
Was Northeast Dylan. You can put
Northeast.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Dylan. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, we had a show booked, and Tyler and I were like, one way or another, we're going to make this work. We'll either have program drums, and we could even have a lead guitar part in there as well, playing through the speakers if we wanted to. Right. But then instead we. Got this guy named Aaron who is really stoked to learn our songs with like 2 weeks' notice.
Yeah.
And it,
that's right.
And then
it was real short notice. Yeah.
And then the guy decided to stick around. So that worked out well.
Yeah. And the funny thing was, the first show with the four of us was actually at Jay's dad's retirement party.
Yeah.
So it was like show number
Mopop.
At Mopop. Yeah. Yeah.
It was like show number four or five before the four of us actually played in front of like any bit of the public.
Yeah.
It was an ongoing joke where there was always somebody that couldn't make it to practice, and so everyone else would just, make the best of it. And,
nice.
And fortunately, everyone was disciplined enough in their own practice time at home and whatnot that...
the fact that all four of us are here right now is an absolute miracle.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's still bonkers to me. Like, all the stuff that we've kind of done, in the last, 2 years is pretty wild.
Yeah.
And it's mostly flying by the seat of our pants.
Yeah,
kind of stuff.
Totally.
I still don't know what I'm doing.
We never played anything out that well.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on everything. Let's talk a little bit about this continued story, because you guys have a lore. You have these characters, a very in-depth story. So, who are the characters? Ace and Indigo, correct?
That is the two main heroes of the story.
Fill us in on this story and where we're at so far.
This is great timing because literally the guys always ask what the story is about. And
okay.
I told them either.
Nice. So let's find out.
I don't even know the names of our songs. So,
Ace and Indigo. So that was the name of our last EP.
Yeah.
That came out. They're basically the protectors of the society within the story.
Yeah.
And the group that they're a part of is The Running Wild, which is one of the singles off the new new album. And so the Ace and Indigo EP is kind of about how they met while they're working together and kind of their journey to basically the lead up to the first full-length album.
Fighting evil on planet Earth against all forces that threaten it.
Yep.
I don't know who hasn't written something like that. Yeah, but, right. It's not like we're plagiarizing anything.
It's all been done
very,
before.
Very, very, very original idea.
Groundbreaking.
I always just have found it way easier to write if I've already created a story than trying to
create these lyrics out of nothing. Yeah. But you have a story.
The radio "I love you" stories. All the time. I'm not into that. There's death and destruction.
Yeah.
And fire and bad guys, and that's way more fun.
Awesome.
It's like emo Star Wars.
Emo Star Wars. I like it.
Yeah, we got that there was some write-up that said it's like Star Wars but more emo.
Right.
And we have clung to that phrase.
Oh yeah.
Nice.
That was
literally the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me.
Trevor Jostad.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks, Trevor.
Shout out to Trevor.
When we print a shirt, we'll send you one.
Yep.
Nice. All right, well, let's go into one of the songs. This is from One, The War on Avenue East by the band Avenue East. I'm Coming Indigo. Who wants to introduce us? Tell me, where in the story is this?
This is where Indigo has since left the living world and is existing kind of in this middle ground. And the bad guys have taken over this territory, and she's... reaching out to Ace, and he's on his way to go try to rescue her.
Wow. It's Avenue East here on Loud and Local, guys. We were so young and dumb and dumb.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
That was I'm Coming In to Go by Avenue East from The War on Avenue East. They're an awesome band that's in studio now, and they have videos for these songs, right? So you have the I'm Coming In to Go as well as the song we're about to play, the Running Wild music videos up on YouTube. You guys shoot those yourselves? Did you have someone come in and work?
So we had Sky Warden come and film those. It's an old friend of mine. So he used to work like the front desk at Rehearsal Works when I used to practice there in one of my older bands.
Awesome.
And him and I had been talking about filming something for a long time. And when the moment came, we were like, hey, let's do some music videos. Like, he was right there.
Ready to go. And
absolutely crushed it.
He crushed it. We shot both the videos in the same day.
Nice, dude.
It was awesome to get to do that and be able to do it. He said it was the easiest he's ever worked with a band because we had like it all planned out.
Cool.
And it all went to plan.
It was storyboarded, scripted.
Storyboarded, yeah.
Props were bought.
And, me and Jay got all the props like the day before.
The day before. So, I mean, like, I'm Coming In to Go was just like, hey, let's just do a performance one.
Yeah.
That'd be easy to do and be have fun and just make it like, you know, let's not do too much story because we knew it would probably cost a lot more to do two stories because it'd probably be multiple days and all this other stuff. And
you can have a story one and a live one.
Yeah. And Running Wild was, it first started out as a joke of like, why don't we just do a music video of like four grown ass men doing a lemonade stand to fund their album? And then it turned into like, that's kind of beating a dead horse. Like
what are all the different things
musicians are doing
we
today?
Have to, yeah.
Like, that is kind of like a metaphor of like, what, like, musicians are doing so much more work today to get their art seen or heard.
Oh, yeah.
And to make money.
Like, well, when you're on tour, you're just like traveling t-shirt salespeople, you know?
Right. and content creators, too.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, influencers.
You gotta get on TikTok.
Called. And so we decided, like, let's just have our manager come in and tell us that he wasted all the money, you know,
on crypto. Cryptocurrency.
Do not invest in Kitty Coin.
Yeah. And it was fun to do. Like, I want to do it again. Like, we had that much fun, and I think
That was a blast. And it turned out way better than any of us.
Yeah. We'll probably do it. We'll probably work with Sky again because of how good he was to us.
During the pandemic, did any of you guys invest in NFTs?
No.
Okay. Good.
No.
Not NFTs, but I did do the crypto thing for a little bit.
I am admittedly sitting on a little bit of crypto that's not worth nearly as much as it was. But I've got
But crypto's still, you know, at least somewhat viable.
Right. At least it exists.
It dropped a lot.
Yeah.
It dropped a lot.
It's not at zero.
Okay. No, it's not at zero, but it's
but
not.
But NFTs, is that true that like most of them are worthless now?
Oh, yeah, they're totally worthless.
Who would have guessed?
Yeah, they're it's a joke.
A piece of paper saying you own a picture of a gorilla isn't actually worth millions of dollars. I am shocked.
It was weird, also never figured out how you just displayed that. Like, you just walk around with your phone being like, check out my NFT.
This is mine.
This is mine.
$250,000.
Cool. I think, was it Logan Paul, like, paid, like, $3 million or something like that for one?
Good.
Jesus. And,
and now it's, like, worthless.
Good. Well, I think he has the money.
Poor
Logan Paul.
So tragic.
Okay. Well, let's moving on. You guys are obviously a Northwest band. This is a Northwest radio show. favorite Northwest bands of all time, and it could be a current band that, you know, bands that you guys play with, or, you know, it could be going back to Heart or Jimi Hendrix. Favorite Northwest bands of all time, and let's start with you, man.
All right. First off, well, I don't want to take anybody else's. All right. Never mind.
No, you're not going to take mine. You're up first. You're not going to take mine.
Currently, right now, shout out to Avoid and the Home Team for absolutely just killing it right now.
Yes.
I love those guys, and I'm just so stoked on everything they're doing. For me, all time, we're going to hop across the water to Bremerton, and I'm going to say Kane Hodder is still one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah.
The Pleasure to Remain So Heartless is just such a great album that ignores all traditional song structures and just writes great songs about, you know, nerdy movie references and stuff like that while having a really dynamic and energetic performance. And, oh, man, that Kane Hodder shows were the funnest shows of my life.
Absolutely.
I would say probably my favorite Seattle band is Gatsby's American Dream.
Great band.
They just played their first show in forever a couple weeks ago.
It nice.
Was killer. And then Edmund, shout out, Danger Radio.
Okay.
Oh, love yeah.
Those guys. Oh, yeah.
What's up, fellas?
Hi, Marvin. Hi, Andrew.
Yep. Been knowing them since we were pretty young. They always crushed it.
Awesome.
So I'm going to do it in like three categories, like current.
All right.
Non-active.
Let me guess one. Queensryche.
That's going to be classic, yes. Okay. Queensryche would be a classic one. Non-active.
Yeah.
Omni.
Great band. Great. I just saw, played Hans Twight's new project.
Oh, yeah.
On Loud and Local last night.
Yeah, he's...
Boonadox.
Yeah, he's doing some awesome stuff. Mm-hmm. I love watching some of the things that he's done with Will. And he did a cool live stream thing with Will.
Back, nice.
Like, during the pandemic. And it was really cool to watch. And then, like, current band, I would have to say the Home Team.
Yeah.
Going to see them with Don Broco.
Great. Yeah. That's awesome.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, as far as old school Seattle bands, I'm a huge Nirvana fan. I have a giant Indian tattoo on my arm. And then jumping across the water, like Alan did, different band, MXPX from Bremerton.
Just obviously. Got to have Mike Herrera on the show.
Yeah. Oh,
that
nice.
Was a game changer. Like, they were one of my favorite bands when I was a little kid.
Yep.
And I still, that new album is so good,
it's
dude.
It's so good.
They were my first show.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, new album is great, dude.
Yeah,
great.
And then another current band is Dragged Under. I really like those.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, right on, man. That's awesome. And thinking back to when you were a little kid, what got you into music?
Oh, I'll take that one.
Sure.
The movie That Thing You Do.
Really? Okay. Shout out Tom Hanks.
I think it was like sixth grade, that the drum part that starts that song, the doom, doom, doom. And I was like,
The O'Neaters.
I was like, I need a drum set.
Nice.
And somehow that movie turned from one drum set into way too much equipment. And a handful of bands later, here we are.
There we go.
Yep.
I don't know.
I did. So growing up, I started taking piano lessons when I was in like preschool.
Wow.
And up until about sixth grade, I was not enjoying it. I was also not really good at sight reading music, which made practicing the piano very not fun. and I just remember being like 12 years old and listening to the radio, listening to Everclear and being like, I want to play this is the music I want to be able to
father of play, mine
right? And actually that song specifically, I was like, this is so good and it's so sad and moving and I want to make this. And my friend had a bass guitar and I was like hanging out at his place just kind of plucking on it, like, okay, oh hey, I figured out how to play Another One Bites the Dust. And fortunately my parents were like, well, is that something you're interested in pursuing? Let's get you a bass guitar. Yeah. And I was kind of like, well, yeah, okay, sure, yeah. Not really taking it seriously. But then all my other friends at the time started picking up drums and guitar and stuff, and none of them were playing bass.
Okay.
So I was a shoe-in for the bass player.
There you go.
Savvy business guy.
With my friends in middle school. And it stuck. And then I got a better bass. And then, here I am still playing bass.
Nice, dude. That's
and
awesome.
Another bass and another bass and another bass.
I have more than one
bass. Another one. Yeah.
Jay, what got you into music, man?
I think, like, just riding around with my dad in his truck and listening to, like, Rush, REO Speedwagon, Def Leppard.
Probably on KISW.
Yeah. And he had stickers on his toolbox that always said KSW 100 FM.
Okay. Old school.
And then I think what got me into like wanting to actually pick up a guitar is when Jolene used to host Mandatory Metallica.
Yeah.
And I just like heard, I think like Puppets or maybe a deep cut, like Ride the Lightning yeah. or something like that. And just like, I want to do that. And then like I saw music videos back when The Box was a channel.
Yeah. And you could, you pay $2.99 yep. to get a video on.
Yep. yep. And watch those videos, you know, then that explored, like, you know, not just like Metallica videos and seeing them for the first time, but then like watching like Limp Bizkit videos and wow. Korn videos and all that nu metal stuff that was coming out at the time. And my friends and I just started playing music. I started with bass before I picked up a guitar, and then wow. my friends stopped playing music, and so I started grabbing their guitars and playing. And
nice.
That's, yeah, it's cool.
So it's funny that you brought up The Box. I don't think I've ever had anyone bring up The Box on this, but I recently was listening to a hip-hop podcast, and they mentioned that, believe it or not, the rumor is, and I think they confirmed it, that Fat Joe got his kind of – his start is he took out a credit card and just maxed it out by putting his video on The Box. Like he just basically just – nice. Just because like he didn't have a label, he didn't have anything. Yeah. He just got a credit card and maxed it out, and that's what got him kind of like his paid name out there. Yeah,
yeah, paid it off.
Exactly.
That time.
You know,
that was a time when you could make money. Off
exactly.
Of that,
it's know? Interesting. So you know, paid for his own promotion. You know, but yeah. that was a way you could do it. So, anyways, moving on. And what got you into music, man? As a kid.
So my older brother was a drummer
awesome.
When I was younger, and I just thought it was really cool to watch him play. And then yeah. I got into school band, and I was like, well, I don't want to play what he plays. So I started sure. playing like woodwind instruments, and then I heard Nirvana and I wanted to play drums.
There you go.
So I was like, nice. Steve, please show me how to play some drums. And then I proceeded to break all of his vintage Zildjian cymbals.
Your cousin,
which he still brings up.
Your nice. Cousin has a little bit of Nirvana lore, right?
Tracy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's yeah. that's.
What's your cousin's lore?
My cousin Tracy Miranda was Kurt's longtime girlfriend.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that's interesting at family reunions.
Nice. Right on. And so 2024 is just around the corner. It's kind of weird to say. What are your guys' goals, you know, for the band? Are you guys looking to do? Are you guys thinking about next album? Are you guys going to play a bunch of shows coming up in the next few months? Or what do you guys want
to
do?
We're looking at we'll be submitting to a bunch of festivals this winter. And
awesome.
Seeing what happens, comes out of it, you know, and seeing if we can maybe do some shows like outside of Seattle or outside of Washington for the first time. That'd be kind of cool. You know, we want to explore it and take it to where we can and where we want to, you know,
yeah.
just have fun along the way.
Right on.
The next albums are already written too. So
okay.
That's true too.
The next five.
Yeah, the next like three records are already written.
I had a lot of time in 2020 and 2021.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
Well, then Tyler keeps showing us new riffs, and we're like, okay, what's this going to be on record 20?
A box set.
No. Yeah, what's funny is LP3 like, coming out in 2037.
Like at a practice or something like that, I'd like play a riff, and he'd be like, hey, play it again. And then all of a sudden, pull out the phone, record the memo, and then like 2 weeks later, he's like, hey, I got something for you. Brand new song.
I'm nice.
Like, oh, sweet.
Nice. So we're going to go into the Running Wild. Any shout-outs or thank yous before we jump into this?
Thank you to Sky Warden
for
shooting
thanks,
awesome
yeah.
videos.
Find the video. It's funny and really well done, and the acting is top-notch.
And if you do watch the video, I feel I need to clear up again that the plunger was brand new.
And thanks to our manager.
Yeah, our manager.
Oh, yeah, our manager.
Levi.
Scuggs.
Yeah. Yeah,
Chaz Scruggs.
So my favorite part of this, our manager in this video, Chaz Scruggs, and is the character that plays our absolute douchebag manager, and he's leading up to the album. Put some teaser stuff from him, like talking fake crypto.
He was in Europe backpacking, and then all the way down to like the Middle East is where he ended or something like that.
Wow.
And he was sending me like videos of him doing like the album promotion or
in character,
and he did a killer job. He showed up last minute because everybody that had lined up for it bailed last minute, and then this guy just showed up, just
perfect outfit
the next day. Perfect outfit, everything. He was awesome.
But my favorite thing that came from that is from all like the fake teasers. From Chaz on our accounts was when we got an email from a venue trying to book us, addressed to Chaz and Avenue East.
Nice. Hey, it works, dude.
So Levi, you crushed it, man.
Yeah, yeah,
thank you, Levi. Crushed it, dude.
We've also had, or at least I have, I don't know if you guys have, I've been asked if our manager actually ripped us off.
Oh, yeah. He did.
Again, do not invest in Kitty Coin, but listen to The Running Wild.
So, yeah, we're going to go into it. It's The Running Wild by Avenue East. And I'm going to have one of you guys do the intro. So who's going to raise your hand? Raise your hand. Who's the most outgoing?
Alan's got the best radio voice.
So this is what I want you to do, man. Right. I want you to introduce this. This is Avenue East here on KISW, The Rock. And I want you to do it as ridiculous. Like, pretend you have the most corny, morning show voice ever.
God. Absolutely.
He already has
Let's go.
He
doesn't have All right.
It's called Pew Pow.
Pretend you're Jay on The Wolf.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
All right, you're listening to KISW, The Rock. Up next is The Running Wild by local band Avenue East. Enjoy.
Wow, don't take my job, dude. Congratulations, man.
You sounded like Mr. Movie Phone.
That was amazing. It's Avenue East here on Loud and Local. Thanks, guys.
Attention is it being
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.